Okay, this is Vision and Commitment Sunday, and you can tell it's Vision and Commitment Sunday because we have people dropping like flies over the last 48 hours with all sorts of illnesses and bugs and all sorts of stuff. So this happens every year, and even if, and someone said we could change the date. Well, I did. I changed it from the first Sunday to the second Sunday, and it still happened. So we seriously need to pray into that next year. Here's the bottom line. The Christian life, the church, our church, our faith are not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. They're about Him, God's plan, His kingdom, and His glory. The verses that we're going to read in a few moments from Isaiah 54 are really key verses for us this year as a vision going forward. It's God's plan for us. It's His vision for us, which will ultimately bring Him glory. It's not about you or me. Now, we need to set these verses in context because they're from Isaiah. And Isaiah is a very big book. It's 66 chapters. But we can probably split it into two parts. Let's go for two. Chapters 1 to 39 are words of warning and judgment outlining the sins of Israel and Judah by the words given to Isaiah by the Lord and other prophets too. They were warning God's people that if you do not come back to the Lord, you will be punished. You will be punished. And we see in amongst all of that that they suffered heavy military defeat. Jerusalem and the temple were sacked. Unbelievable. How could that happen? How could God let that happen? Because God was in the temple. If the temple was gone, where was God? And so the punishment is to be taken into exile in Babylon, into slavery, if you like, where there are tensions and pressures. And that takes up the majority of the chapters through 1 to 39. They didn't heed the warning, so they go into exile. Jeremiah 29 tells us that it was for 70 years. That may not seem very long to us in comparison, but 70 years where they believe there is that God has abandoned them, that where is God in all of this? But then in Isaiah, the second part of Isaiah, from chapters 40 to 66, we begin to see a massive, massive change. The whole emphasis changes. And the whole emphasis changes to the point it talks about the Messiah to come. It talks about a sovereign Lord. It talks in chapter 53 about a suffering servant. And Isaiah intertwines all of these. This sovereign Lord, suffering servant, the Messiah is coming. There is hope. There is hope. There's a hope and a future. This is what it says in Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now, if you cannot perceive that God, over these last few months, and particularly over these last few weeks, is not doing a new thing, either you've gone deaf or you've gone blind. Do you not perceive that God is doing a new thing amongst us? These are the words that I believe God's placed on our heart for our vision this year. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I believe this is the vision that God has given us for us during 2020. These words were first given to me back in 2002, when this church had issued a call to Sue and myself. And these were the words that were given into a group that we were praying. And these were the words that were given. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch the tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. And the reason that we took up the call to the church was because even though it was just 12 members, that's all there were, on a good Sunday, there were 14 of us, and we used to have three rows of chairs here of seven, across the middle here, 21. So there was room for expansion, enlarge your tent. But the reason that we accepted a call was, A, it was a call from God, undoubtedly, but even though that 12 had been through a very difficult and challenging time, they had been hurt. They had a vision of moving forward with Jesus. We had a vision, and together we had a vision to move forward. One of the things that was given early on was this familiar passage from Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But the caveat is here. This is the important thing. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. The plans he has for us depend on you and me constantly seeking the Lord and coming to pray to him. These words from Isaiah are important. Enlarge the place of your tent. Do not hold back. Bedouin tents were made initially for just two people. They were quite small. But as your family grew, you added canvas, and as you added canvas, you lengthened your ropes and you strengthened your stakes. But a Bedouin, whenever they wake up in the morning, whenever dawn, they bring back the curtains, so there is nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. Everyone can see inside. How many of you have ever been camping? Put your hands up. Are there any secrets when you go camping? None! Enlarge the place of your tent. There are no secrets. We need to be open and honest before everyone. But don't hold back. There is no limit to the expansion. Just flick back. Oops. Enlarge the place of your tent. Not just the tent, it's the place of your tent. It goes beyond your tent. Stretch your curtains wide. Don't hold back. There's no limit to what God wants to do. God wants to fill the earth and our community with his glory. Our God is far bigger, far, far bigger than our plans, agendas, our thoughts, our imaginations, or our dreams. God is far, far bigger than that. Most people in this country, in our community, have written off Christianity. It's a religion. They say that it's not relevant to them. Jesus is a historical figure. The church is all about religious rules, outdated practices. What people don't realize is just how amazing Jesus is. Is Jesus not amazing? Yeah. Then why aren't we telling people about this amazing Jesus? Why are we keeping it to ourselves? Why aren't we opening up our tents? Why are we hiding Jesus? We worship and know a risen Lord Jesus Christ. And people need to know him. He's active through the Holy Spirit, through you, through me, in transforming and changing lives through the Holy Spirit, giving life to, in all its fullness, to those who would give their life to him. Hope now and beyond where we are now. Our job for all of us, yes, each and every one of us, is to share Jesus with others. Have you ever experienced a flea? Don't go there. A flea will jump 7 inches from where it is. That's 80 times, okay, its height. Now, if I'm 6 foot, and if I was to jump 80 times my height, it'd be 480 feet. I'm lucky if I can get 6 inches. But a flea can jump incredibly high. Put a flea in a jam jar and put the lid on, and the flea will soon learn it can't jump any higher than that. Take the lid off and it will carry on jumping to that height. It won't go back to where it was jumping before. Sometimes because of disappointment, because of hurt, because something has happened, our expectations of what God can do are limited. We limit God by our own experiences. I want all of us from here on in to take the lid off of our expectations of what God can do. We sing a song with the kids. We sometimes sang it here. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him. Nothing is too small. Don't put him in a box and don't shove him in a corner. Don't you limit what God can do. Don't, for 1 minute, let us limit what God can do. Don't limit our understanding of what God can do. God has plans, big plans, for us, beyond our expectations, far beyond our expectations. He wants us to spread out. Spread out, think big. This is the Message version. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tent large. Spread out. Think big. Think big. The West is the only place where the church is in decline. People don't want a creed. They don't want theological ideals. They don't want ideological statements. They want a God that is real. A God that is real to them. And we have and worship a God that is real to us. A life-changing God. A transforming God. I can remember talking to a chef once, and he said, you eat in three ways. With your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. First of all, you eat with your eyes. You ever watch MasterChef? You go, wow. But the problem is then, you can't smell it. And Greg Wallace and John, they go, oh, this is fantastic. You go, what? And then they taste it and you go, what? What is the point of just having part of an experience? When we eat, as we will do lunchtime, we will eat with our eyes first and go, wow, hopefully. And then go, whoa, you haven't burnt it, darling, wonderful. And then you taste it. Mwah. It's a whole experience. That's what people want. They want a whole experience of God. They don't want a bit. They don't want a bit there and a bit there and a bit. They want a whole experience of God. When you look at the picture of a Mediterranean sea and a warm sunshine, is that going to do it for you? No, you need to go into the water. Feel the sun, feel the warmth of the water, feel the refreshment. It's the whole experience. That's what people want. They want the whole experience of God. And we are able to bring them to that whole experience of God through the Holy Spirit. You and I know that reality. You know His power living in you. And you can share that with others. You can't share faith, but you can bring them to a point where they can grow in faith. This passage that's before us from Isaiah wasn't just for then. It's for now, today, this year. I want to remind you just how big our God is. He has called every single one of us, there's no exceptions, to fulfill His purpose and His kingdom growth. How many of you have been to McDonald's? Put your hands up. Now this is it. Oh, okay. How many of you like going to McDonald's? Well, that's a bit of a difference. What is the point of McDonald's? I do not understand this. We go to the cinema. Where do you want to go? McDonald's. Why? I come out more hungry than when I went in. But you go in. I mean, they've got these touch screens now, which, I mean, the kids go in. No. We used to go up to the counter. You go up to the counter, and there's a queue, yeah? And you go up to the counter, and there's this queue there, and there's these pictures, and you're looking. And then all of a sudden, they move so fast, you are next. What would you like? A burger. Oh, that's original. Do you want to go large? Yes! Oh, French fries. Who invented French fries? Only the French could invent French fries. Ridiculous. Proper chips. French fries, yes. Do you want to go large? Yes! And what do you want to drink? Oh, Coke. Do you want to go large? Yes! They are trained to ask you to go large, don't they? Even on the touch screens. Do you want to go large? Yes! Because otherwise I would go out hungry again. And I don't want to go out hungry. If you like going to McDonald's, I will pray for you for deliverance. There you go. But God wants us to go large. God wants us to go large. Do you want to go large? God keeps asking us that. He's been asking us that for some time. Last year, beginning part of last year, He said to us as a church, do you really want to go large? Yes, we do. Then we're going to step into the Jordan. I will go before you. And in March last year, we stepped into the Jordan with £220,000 with not a hope of finishing the build. Still haven't got a hope of finishing the build at the moment. But God's on the case. Mick said this earlier this week. How on earth have we got all this done for £220,000? And I don't know how that's happened. But God's made it happen, hasn't He? God has happened it. Happened it? That's just not very grammatical. God has made it happen. God has made it happen. God said, believe in me, have faith in me, let's step into the Jordan. I'm going before you. There's nothing to fear. We're halfway across the Jordan now. And God is amazing, is He not? God's bringing this about. We say three prayers last Sunday, and God just surprised us with the road. We didn't see that one coming. But God is amazing. God is bigger than our thoughts and our plans. He's doing, as we say, immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So we need to be asking big. We need to be imagining big. And then God say, well, I'm going to surprise you even more. But ask big. Imagine big. I am tangibly seeing growth in people in this church. People who are stepping in faith, stepping up in faith. And it isn't just a New Year thing before you say, oh, it was a new thing. No, it's not. This has been happening way before Christmas. And it's still happening now. He is saying, Go with me. Go large with me. And people are. Enlarge your tent. Allow more of me into your life. This is a personal thing now. It's not a church thing now. I want you to think about you as you as a person. Enlarge your tent. Open up yourself to what God wants to do in your life. If you haven't done that now, do it today. Let God in more. Stretch the curtains wide. Welcome me in, the Lord's saying. Welcome me in. Have more of me. You cannot get enough of me. Now you can stay where you are, or you can go big with God. We could have stayed where we were. We could have said, oh, but you know, we haven't got the money. We can't go there. We're just there as we are. We're okay. It's like that comfortable jumper you put on it. You put your comfortable jumper and it's all nice and comfortable, isn't it? And dare anyone throw that jumper out. Because it's comfortable. I've got one that is really beginning to see its age. But so dare not throw that particular jumper out. It hasn't, I checked. We can stay where we are, where we're comfortable. But that isn't where God wants us. He wants us out of our comfort zone as a church, as individuals, as a people. He's taken us out of our comfort zone as a church, and he's taking people out of their comfort zone now. Is God taking out your comfort zone? Are you stepping outside your comfort zone? Don't limit God by your limited opportunities in the past or your limited experiences. Last year, I believe, was a preparing ground for what God is doing amongst us this year. When I first came to this church in 2002, they could only afford to pay for a part-time position, 3 days a week. We had some money in a trust fund, EMBA trust fund, 50,000 pounds, I think it was, and they were using some of that to supplement the stipend, and they were allowed to do that. Within 3 years, the ministry position here had gone full-time. The church were paying the stipend full-time. We weren't taking money out of the trust fund. Somewhere between 2005 and 2019, £220,000 came in. We started with £55,000-£60,000, I don't know what it was. Well, I can think of some gift days that brought some money in and a few other things, but I cannot count to how we could ever get to 220,000. I don't know how we got there. No idea how we got there. But God made it happen. God made it happen. Like the five loaves and two fishes. God expanded it. God expanded the finances. I don't know how it happened. But he did. And he will continue to do that. God is stretching the curtains wide and allowing more people to know him. This is why we're building a new worship center. It's why we're going to be joining the two churches together. When we got that building completed, we're going to go straight for planning to join the two churches. We're going to refurbish this area in here because God wants us to make a place which is welcoming, opening up the curtains wide, opening up the tent to allow people to come in. Do you think God is pushing the boundaries to open up a new worship center to house 150, 160 people if he's not going to fill it? Why would God do that? God wants to see his name glorified, and God will make it happen. I can't remember when this was given to us. I think it was given to Cyril. At least 10 years ago, maybe more. Picture was given of an aircraft landing. It wasn't a Cessna-like aircraft, it's a few people getting off. It was a sizable. Was it Sue Mack? Was it you? Sue saying it was you. But anyway, we're fun for it. This aircraft landing, and people were coming down and they were carrying baggage. Some of them were carrying light cases, and we were taking it from them. Some were carrying a case. Some cases were being opened and there were gifts inside, and that would enhance the ministry in the church. Others were weighed down with baggage, and we were taking it from them. As they came off, we took the baggage from them. And God continues to bring people in with light baggage, with ordinary baggage, with heavy baggage. And we are a welcoming church. We must never be judgmental. We must never have prejudice. Whoever God brings us is who God wants to be here in this church, in this family. All are welcome. The curtains are open wide. And God won't just multiply finances, He will multiply people. He will multiply people with gifts. He will multiply people coming in who need to be saved. Because God will make that happen. God says, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid to step out in faith. As individuals, as groups, as ministry groups, don't be afraid to step out in faith. As a church, as a body of Christ, don't be afraid to step out in faith. God said to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. How amazing is that? God is going before us and around us. Not for the first time this week, someone who hasn't been with us very long at all said this church is a beacon, a light out in the community. How do they know that? Only God could have given them that. And that's something that's constantly been given to us as a church, time and time and time again. We are that beacon. We're not called by God to shrink back, to hide behind the curtain. We are told to go forward in strength and power. We are liberated to shine the light of Jesus. And as we shine the light of Jesus, that liberates other people. And they too will go on to shine the light and liberate other people. We step out in faith. Peter stepped out in faith. The woman who had the issue of blood stepped out in faith. Constantly in the Bible, we see people stepping out in faith. That wasn't for then. It's for now too. We are called to step out in faith. Don't hold back because of fear. Because fear has no part whatsoever in God's plan. Nowhere. How often do we hear in the Bible, do not be afraid. Do not fear. So we shouldn't. What if you say no to fear? What if you become a risk taker? That's part of our vision that we said we would run with 3 years. It's our third year. We are called to be risk takers, people of faith. What if you were a risk taker more often? What if you, when you laid on hands on the sick, when you pray for someone who's ill, that you believe wholeheartedly that person's going to be healed? What holds us back? What caveat do we put? Why do we put that? Why do we fear? There's nothing to fear. There's no fear of failure with God. What if we took away fear and spoke out the name of Jesus wherever we go? Family, work situations, wherever we are. What if we just spoke His name without fear? This is the time, this is our generation, this is us now, stepping out in faith. We are a Christ-centered, kingdom-building, risk-taking, disciple-making, pilgrim people. That's who we are. Do we need to grow more? Yes, we do, because we are stepping out in faith. I believe God wants to go larger with all of that. In you and me and our church. Hallelujah. Let's not hold back. The time for excuses is over. There's no holding back. We go in faith, believing. We go lengthening our cords. We go to make more impact in our workplace, in the school, in our community, in our social groups, in our neighbours, our homes, our families, those in our families who are yet to know Jesus Christ. What's holding you back? Lengthen your cords, strengthen the stakes, go deeper. Go deeper with God. I can remember when I was 7 years old, and we were taken by school to go swimming for the first time. We went to the public baths, and we all got changed, and we all got marched up the deep end. This wouldn't happen now. But we were told to jump in the deep end. There was this big guy. He was as big as Colin, and Colin's big, aren't you? You're a big lad, aren't you? He was big as you, but he had white hair, but you're all right. And he had white trousers, white t-shirt, bulging great muscles, and he had a rod with a life belt on the end of it. And you had to jump in. Whether you could swim or not, you had to jump in. And if you didn't jump, he pushed you. And I jumped in, and I couldn't swim. And you and after a while, he took pity and hung the lifebelt over you, and you were pulled to the side, and you got out, and he said, "Down the shallow end, lad." And he went down a shallow end. And what do you do down a shallow end? You stand on one leg, and you pretend to swim. Do we not? I look up the other end, and there's all these kids who can swim are having the time of their lives. And I think, I want that. I want to go deep. So when I went on holiday, my uncle Len taught me to swim. So when we came back in September, we went and we went through the same thing again. Jumped in the deep end and I swam. We need to go deeper with God. What's the point of being in the shallow end? Where's the excitement of just standing in the shallow end? What is the point? Go deep. There's where the excitement is. There's where the excitement is. Lots of people in the last few weeks, months, even days, are letting go the side of the pool and venturing out into the deep. And God is with them, and he won't let you drown. Are you swimming, or you stood still in the shallow end? That isn't where the excitement is, guys. It's in deep with God. That's where the excitement is. Today is the time to move forward into the deep end. Do not fear, for I am with you. The Lord is asking us to put into practice what we have learned over the last year in our lifetime as disciples of Christ. God doesn't want church attenders. If you're a church attender, he wants you to be a disciple. A disciple making disciple. A disciple living disciple. He doesn't want church attenders. He wants you to be stepping out into the deep. A life surrendered to God. God, we had a motto text for a couple of years about being holy as God is holy. And God still is calling us to holiness. What is that? It's a life surrendered to God. Giving everything we have, our homes, our money, our car, our families, everything that we have, we just surrender to him. Allow him to use that to strengthen our stakes, to go large, to strengthen our stakes, to lengthen our cords. Where's your Bible? Some of you bought it. Is it sitting on a shelf at home, gathering dust? What good is it there? Useless. Pointless. If you read your Bible and you don't apply it, you need to be applying what God is saying when you read his word. Going deep with him. Strengthening the stakes. Strengthening, lengthening the cords. If you're a Christian, are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying? If you're not, why aren't you praying? Go deep with God. Pray and expect God to do amazing things. I don't think it was a coincidence. On New Year's Eve, someone said, are we gathering together on New Year's Eve? It was about 24 hours before New Year's Eve. And I said, well, it's not time to sort anything out. But we had a prayer meeting on Tuesday morning. So I said, come along. New Year's Eve, come along. We had 30 people turn up. Now, I had a lack of faith. I put my hand up, lack of faith. We're normally in the back room. I thought, I'll go large. I'll go large. And we put 18 chairs out. That was me going large. We had 30 people turn up. We had to keep spreading out, did we not? We took up a whole area. This Tuesday, we doubled the size of the prayer meeting. We have 8 or 9. There were 16 of us there. God is doing amazing things. Why is God doing that? Because I believe God is calling us to that, and we're stepping out in faith. Prayer is essential. Prayer is vital of everything that is going on. We have a prayer and praise here next Saturday. You need to be here. You need to be here to praise God and pray at the beginning of the new year. We're going to be listening to God. We're going to be praying to God. We're going to be praising God. But we need to be here as a body of Christ. Final part of this. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will possess. NIV, it says, repossess the nations. That's taking the land back off the enemy. The enemy has taken far too much off of us. We are going into this to take the land back from the enemy and populate our community in Christ's name. The foundations that we set in this year will be the foundations that are so important for generations to come. We're going to settle in those desolate places. God is calling us, every one of us, to enlarge, go large. He's calling us to strengthen our stakes, to go deeper with God, to lengthen the cord so that we can expand out and invite people in. Where is God speaking to you today, this morning? Where is he asking you to go large with him? Where is he asking you to strengthen your stakes and go deeper with him? Where is he asking you to lengthen your cords so that you can open up those curtains to let more of him in? Where is he asking you to enlarge, strengthen, or lengthen? Because wherever it is, and he will be asking you, and he will be prompting you right now, the answer that you have to give in the name of Christ is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.